So I was checking out your blog, and it's really funny, which I think, I don't know why I'm surprised about that, because I feel like artificial intelligence is kind of funny.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes it's funny in movies and things, but, you know, the things that it does when it's struggling are just beyond what you see in movies. And, yeah, I love it. It is a certain kind of absurdity, a special kind of just surrealism that really gets me.
How did you get into doing this?
So I saw some cookbook recipes that somebody else had generated using an AI. So this guy named Tom Brew had fed a bunch of standard recipes into a neural network, had it generate things, and it was generating things like shredded bourbon, and it was asking you to like peel the rice before you add it. And, you know, there was all of this lack of comprehension, and it was just so hilarious. And I think I laughed till I could hardly breathe at that point. And ended up saying, well, I need to make more like this. And that's when I ended up learning how to generate new cookbook recipes. I had a blog already that I'd been using in grad school just to put up, you know, pictures from the lab and stuff. So I said, well, as long as I've made these funny recipes, I'll just put them on the internet. And then it was to my surprise that other people started reading them.
Yeah, so you said neural networks, and I will fully admit that I did not know what a neural network was. I had to Wikipedia it. Can you just kind of, for the listeners, explain what a neural network is and what it does?
Sure. So when we say artificial intelligence now, there's a whole bunch of stuff under that umbrella. And actually, it depends on whether you are selling an app or you're writing science fiction or something like that, what exactly you mean by artificial intelligence. But for people who are working with it in the field, who are using it to suggest new movies for you, or to deliver ads, or to translate languages, like the people who are using artificial intelligence, a lot of what they're using is called a neural network. And this kind of AI, it's modeled very roughly after how a brain works. So you have virtual neurons, and the way that the artificial neural network solves problems, it all depends on how those virtual neurons are hooked together.
Walk me through the process. If you're going to have your neural network write some recipes, how do you get from a pile of recipes, and where do you get the pile of recipes to it coming up with shredded bourbon?
Yeah. So when I'm doing experiments, I get these examples for the neural network to imitate. Like, I get them from all over the place. So in one case, it was a group of middle school coders who had collected a bunch of ice cream flavors and gave them to me, like far more than I could have collected on my own. Sometimes you can extract them from Wikipedia articles, so there are people who are really into whatever the subject is, who have compiled this huge long list, and you can extract it. Or other times, people will send me data that they themselves have collected. So that's step one. You have a bunch of examples of something that you want to generate. And then step two is you give them to this program and tell it to imitate them. And the program usually starts from scratch and has no idea whether you've given it recipes, whether you've even given it English, whether you've given it code or like lists of names of guinea pigs. Like, it could be anything. And it has to try and figure out how to put one letter after another in a text like this. And it is hilarious watching it go from like the very first steps where it's like, blah, 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 blah. It's just random letters and punctuation after one another. And then it starts to learn gradually, starts to learn the common words. So when I was doing recipes, one of the first words it tried to spell was teaspoons, and you could see it struggle. It would be like teaspoop, poopy, teaspoop, and it would be trying, and eventually it would get the word teaspoon, it would get the word salt, and you would start to see these words emerge and the structure emerge, and that's all pretty fun to watch. And then after a while, it's learned a lot of patterns. It's learned kind of how to imitate whatever you've given it, and then that's the last and final step is actually asking it, okay, produce some text. Let's see how you did.
How long have you been doing this blog for?
I've been doing this blog for, I think, about 3 years now.
Has the level of technology that you've been working with changed over that time? This seems like something that's moving very quickly.
Yeah, the field is moving faster than I had expected, actually. So I'm working on writing a book right now, and I've already had to rewrite some sections when I said, oh yes, an AI will never have enough memory, or, you know, it doesn't have enough memory to figure out, to keep track of characters or in a story or something like that. And then out comes a new AI from a group called OpenAI that blows everything I knew out of the water. And suddenly I'm like, wow, it actually can remember the name of the characters. It still doesn't have a concept really for what's going on. It's just putting words in an order that seem probable to it. But at least, you know, if it starts out writing Harry Potter fan fiction, it will remember who are the characters and it will continue to use them.
So a lot of what you work with is like fun things and what the AI can come up with that's interesting and funny to humans. Is there any danger in teaching these networks things? Like, are we going to end up with, I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dave? Like, like, what are the dangers involved in teaching this? Or the ethics, even?
Yeah, so the more I work with these, the more I understand how very little they can possibly understand about what they're doing and how very small they are. So to put it in perspective, like, the human brain has tens of billions of brain cells that are all working. And the more we learn about them, the more complex we know that there are, just beyond just the number of brain cells. But if we look at number of brain cells in human brain, and then we look at the number of neurons in these kinds of artificial neural networks we're working on, which, remember, they're kind of roughly modeled after the human brain, like, we're talking about the number of neurons in an earthworm. So this is not a very intelligent thing, and it does really well on one problem at a time, and it has to be a super, super duper narrow problem. Like, just imitate the names of paint colors, for example. Like, you give it a bunch of numbers from Sherwin-Williams, it's got to try and imitate those. But when you see what it comes up with and all of the, you know, the terrible paint colors it comes up with, you realize that it only knows exactly what you gave it in the data set. It doesn't understand the world, it doesn't understand the concept, the context. You take it outside of this really narrow comfort zone. You say, okay, this is a worm brain, basically. And so there's not anybody home. It's not like working with a person or even an animal or anything that can think and feel. You know, this is, we've had simple programs like this for a long time. And yeah, that's not one thing I'm worried about, is whether the programs I'm working with have any concept of being made fun of, for example.